Welcome to Identity Church Sunday morning message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
I just want to say I so appreciate Stephanie and the worship team. If you were a fly on the wall in the prayer room this morning, everything you sang and your prayer declarations and what happened at the altar was what we prayed about. It was awesome. I stand in awe at what the Lord is doing in this house with the way he's connecting the departments and the ministries and the people. It's really awesome. So this morning, yes, I did speak with Pastor Charlie about what the Lord had given me about the Father. And this morning, I call it the Reflections of My Father. It's a two-part teaching. The first part is innocence joining with the Father, and the second part is the Father joining with innocence. So I'm going to stick with my notes because I can go on a million rabbit trails, and I don't want to do that, so I want to just try to stay focused. But I'm very happy to be able to share with you this morning. And I pray that what I share with you this morning will contribute a little bit more depth and dimension to what Pastor Charlie has been sharing with us about innocence and what it looks like and the importance of grabbing hold of it with our spirits and not just with our heads, you know, not just with our understanding. So I want to share with you, I love music. I love worship. I love music. I love all different kinds of music. So I want to share with you the words to a few songs, two prophetic songs by Rick Pino. One of them he wrote in 2010 and the other in 2013. So it's, even though he did it back then, over 10 years ago, almost 20 years ago on one of them, that, you know, he's got something to say that we need to hear. So when I was praying about this message, these particular words are off of the CD, Angel of Awakening, and it's a prophetic song called Zerubbabel. And it's, for me, when I listen to this, it's the intertwining of innocence with our relationship with our Creator, our Father. And we cannot survive as a people without both. We need the intertwining of both. We can't have one without the other. They don't stand alone. Innocence doesn't stand alone. The Father doesn't stand alone. They stand together. And so hopefully over the next couple of these two messages that you'll see that we absolutely have to come to that place. So he has this song, Zerubbabel, and the main thrust of it is this one sentence. In fact, he repeats it over and over again in the song 21 times. It says, when I'm with my daddy, my innocence is restored. He says it 21 times in the song, and at one point he says the word listen. We have to listen. We have to let that get into our spirits. It's only when we're with our Father that our innocence is restored. And I was just thinking about Zerubbabel, and I had to look him up and see what he did. And he led the first group of Jews out of the captivity of Babylon. And Zerubbabel went on to lay the foundation of the second temple. So in his song, the latter part of it, it says, this generation is coming out of confusion. And that's the prophetic aspect of this song. This generation is coming out of the confusion of who they are, and they're coming into right standing with the Father. He says, no more confusion to my generation. We have to make that a prophetic decree in our prayers as we pray. Because the Lord is coming back, and we can't be confused about that. We're actually in a season of the Lord called Nisan. I think I pronounced it right, Ron. Nisan or Nisan? Nissan. Sorry. I didn't want to sound like I was talking about a car. There you go. Yes, seriously. Oh, but in this season in Jewish history, they believe that this was the season the universe was created. This was the season that Joshua sent out the spies to Jericho. It was also the time Esther went before the king uninvited. It was the death of Haman occurred during this season, and so did the conquest of Jericho. So in Jewish history, it's the season where great change is celebrated. So I believe, even as Pastor just shared what his new revelation was about networks, I believe the Lord is giving us an opportunity as a body to move forward into this revelation of innocence, in that it become who we are and not just what we think. Who we are. So I want to make a declaration over this body, the words of Rick Pino's song, for this revelation that when we are with our daddy, our innocence is restored, and our generation, whichever one we are part of, will come out of confusion regarding the spiritual concept of innocence. So just take a moment to think about what I just said, because we need clarity in this revelation to move forward, to mature, and to come into the fullness of our destiny as a people. So think about that. We have to come out of confusion. So he has a second song that I love. It's on his beloved CD. And I believe it's a prophetic word for the body. And the name of the song is Abba. The words are simply, Abba, I belong to you, and your thoughts define me. You are my reality. And so this morning, again, I want to release over us this morning the reality that God is a Father. He is our Father as individuals. But collectively, he is our Father. The concept relationally, spiritually, and positionally. This word, this concept as Father, is really hard for many of us. So I will say for me, for a very long season in my life, which seemed like decades, this was a very hard heavenly truth to grab hold of, to make sense out of, to hold on to trust in. So whatever it is for you as an individual, I am saying to you as a testimony of the goodness of God, that our Father wants you to know him as we are known by him. He wants you to know him from the inside out. He does. So I was used to work in daycares a lot, and I was always bothered by the statistics that I would see in Department of Children and Families regarding children. And I started thinking about how our culture shapes the way we see our Heavenly Father. So there were statistics from 2012 that showed in the USA alone that there were 5 million children who lived without a father. That's 1 in 3 kids that did not have a natural dad around. But in 2017, the statistics showed that the number had risen to 19.7 million. So I would call this an epidemic. It's an epidemic. It's not just, we aren't necessarily subject to these statistics, but we are in many ways. And we know that Romans 8:19 shows us that the earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And when you think about that, this earth can be interpreted as the actual earth, the land beneath our feet is groaning, or even those who walk this earth clothed in the red, unsanctified dirt of their Adamic nature. I don't know, when you hear that scripture, what's the first thing you think of? You know, for years and years, the first thing I thought about was how the earth itself is groaning. But then the Lord really spoke to me about we're made of dirt. And there's a lot of people on this earth that have not had the sanctification of this experience of Jesus Christ in their life. So they're walking around and they're crying out for us to become mature. You and me, that's who they're crying out for. So the Lord is dying to see Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. They're dying. They're dying to see their Father. They're dying to see the one who created them. They're dying to see the one that gives them life and purpose, destiny, and eternal perspective. I mean, I'm going through my own situation with my own family, and I can't even imagine living in circumstances that they're living in, and they're happy, but there's something so much better. And we have the opportunity to give it to them by our example. So Jesus himself said, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." I want you to think about that. I mean, I'm asking you today to look at these scriptures with a new perspective, with what Pastor Charlie has been talking about, to look at them with innocent eyes, eyes that aren't clouded by paradigms, eyes that aren't clouded by our shortcomings or shame, as he has said so many times. But that's almost hard to wrap your head around, that one. That we are in the Lord and he is in us. We are in our Father and he is in us. He said in John 14:20, that in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That is so powerful. He's talking to his disciples. That's us. He had just finished telling them about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit lives inside of them. And it was love that was holding all of this together. I just believe that it is imperative for us moving forward in our own personal destinies and as a group of people with a mandate from the Lord to understand how much we are loved, because love is the key to unlocking any and every door. But it's not the love that we know, that we are conditional love or philo love, the love of friends, but it's really the agape love of our Father that we need to tap into. So it's pure love without hitches or hooks or anything else that demands self. Everybody is so quiet.
Amen, sister.
I mean, seriously. I know that, you know, I'm not Dirty Harry up here. I'm just asking the Spirit of God, because I know that he's here. I can feel him up here. But I know that he's challenging us. And I think that Pastor Charlie has been challenging us for months to consider new ways of looking at things. You know, some of the guest speakers that have been here too, you know, new ways of perceiving, asking for a clearer. It's almost like, you know, a lot of us have dirty windows or dirty glasses, and we just need to clean them up a little bit, because the Lord is wanting to take us into deeper revelation of who He is. And I think it's scary. Sometimes it can be really, really scary, because He's asking us to give up the ways that we have thought that have made us so comfortable. We get really comfortable. And it can be dangerous to be comfortable. I don't think Jesus was ever comfortable. He was always on the move with His Father. He was always listening to what He had to say. He was doing things that were out of the box. I used to say He was the greatest revolutionary of all times.
That's why He needed a comforter.
Yeah, He sure did. But I believe that's what He is expecting of us. So we have to ask ourselves, why do we have such a hard time embracing love, embracing our Father? You know, when I grew up, as many of you did in here, I'm sure there's some old Catholics in the house, right? I'm not the only one.
No, you're not.
Right? I know. I just love those nuns. Quack, quack. So I grew up as a Catholic, and so my perception of my Father was... Now you'll have to let me know if this is right, Ed. The man upstairs with the big stick. Are there any other Catholics in here? Oh, and boy, did we feel that stick too. You know, you talked in class or whatever. It's like, put your hands on the thing. Whack, 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 you know, on your hands. Oh my gosh, these... Talk about religion. So this man upstairs, he was ready to whack me if I did anything wrong, just like the nuns at Sacred Heart School. I mean, they were just crazy. And I didn't understand the school was called Sacred Heart School, but it was like, oh, nothing was sacred there. It was terrible. We had such rigid rules. It was ridiculous. Such rigid rules and such control. It was like my perception of free will was there wasn't any. You know, Jesus gave us free will, but we weren't allowed to exercise it at all. And you know, a lot of times that we're stuck in that we have a free will, but yet we choose the works of the flesh over the Spirit of God. And it's just like our Adamic nature is so... in control. It's ridiculous. And there's so many of us, and I'm including myself in this. I mean, you know, there's still parts in my life that are not given over to the Lord in a way that is freeing and satisfying and without hooks or hitches, you know? So there's many people. In our New Testament church, we are still shackled to the law. Even as you've been sharing, we're still shackled, and we don't have the true freedom in Christ, and we don't walk fully in the Spirit like Galatians admonishes us to do. And it all has to do with the way we see ourselves and we see our Father, the one who created us. So I would like you to consider something this morning. I'm going to read some scriptures, but I want to read them with your eyes closed, because I don't want you to be distracted. I just want you to really hear the word. I just want you to really focus on the word. And so my prayer would be that I ask the Holy Spirit that resides in each one of us to begin to blow on the embers of your heart and to blow up, burn up all of your self-defensive paradigms that keep you from the fullness of the truth that God is love. Our Abba is love, and you are innocent. These scriptures come from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, and Genesis 1, 31. So please think about this and consider this. And I am asking the Lord to, even as the Holy Spirit came in such a mighty way, like the rain, I am asking for that same rain to come because we need a bath. For this is what our Father has said. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. That's powerful. So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them to be fruitful and to multiply. And then it says that God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. So the truth of the matter is that you were made in God's image to be his reflection upon the earth, just as Jesus was. You are a piece of your Father's heart, an essence or a fragrance, as we are called in 2 Corinthians 2:15. You represent an aspect of his character. God is love, God is perfect, and he is innocent of any evil. So you reflect all that he is to whatever capacity you surrender to love. That is the measure you are him in this earth. So I want to tell, I like studying, so I want to just talk about this word good, because I want you to think about this for yourself. You're good. If God says you're good, you're good. In the widest sense, it is used both in the masculine and the feminine. So whether you're a man or a woman, the Lord calls you beautiful, bountiful, kind, precious, prosperous, sweet, wealthy, and well-favored. That's what that word means. So if we could grasp the context in which he's speaking, in the context in which you were molded and created, this is beautiful. There is, you know, we may not like what we look like in the mirror. We might not like the family that we come from. We might not like our social status. We might not like any of those things. But that doesn't make any difference to the Lord. You're still good. And if we could grab hold of that concept, we will realize that the Creator is talking about himself. He's talking about who he is. He's talking about what he created. He is saying to you that you are a reflection of me. You are a reflection of your Father. You were created and born out of love, and you were born innocent. So if you read the scripture in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So glory means to reflect. It also means to set a border or a boundary, and it also means a twisted rope. And I started thinking about that. What does that mean? The image of God is like a twisted rope. And then I started thinking about what I said before, that the revelation of innocence cannot stand on its own. Just as the goodness of the Lord is intertwined like a rope of many cords, many facets, and many dynamics of truth. But the truth is, this revelation of innocence affects everything, absolutely everything. And so we say, how can it affect everything? You know, when I was a kid, I was told that I was born in sin. That was the Catholic way, right? We were born in sin. We were sinners, man. When, as soon as we came out of our mother's womb, we were sinners. And I started thinking about that and asking the Lord about that. And it's like, yes, I know we're told we come into this world with a sin nature because of the sin of our forefathers, Adam and Eve. And there are many scriptures to validate this point. But I'm asking you to consider deepening your perspective to see into the intentions of your Father's heart. So here are some more scriptures I want you to really think about. Because in every scripture that I'm going to read you, it is telling me that before the foundation of the world, we were in Christ. We were in his fullness. We were in his heart. We were in his resurrected body. And we were even in his broken body on the cross. We were there. Because he was the lamb slain before the foundations of the world. Revelation 13:8. I guess I'll read it. And all who dwell on earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. That's not my translation, but that'll do. But he was the Lamb before the foundation of the world. And if we were in Christ, we were there in him. In Ephesians 1:4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. So we were predestined to belong to him before the foundation of the world. I know that you have to really think about that, because that messes with a lot of the way we have been taught and the way we have thought and the way we live our lives and the way we perceive ourselves before our Father. That's why shame has such a hold on so many people, and shame becomes shackles that don't allow us to move forward, get close to our Father, just like Pastor Charlie was saying about, you know, we look at ourselves and we say, oh, how can I possibly be lovable? How can I possibly be approachable? How can I approach my Father if this is what I've done? I like this one, Colossians 3:1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. How many times have we read that scripture and it just goes right over our heads? I mean, disconnect, like total disconnect. We make a total disconnect. But if the Bible is the Word of God and it's truth and it's life to me in every way, my spirit, soul, and my body, then why do I choose to disconnect from things that I can't wrap my head around instead of asking the Spirit of God to illuminate my understanding? That's his job, to illuminate our understanding. We were raised to life with him that day in the tomb. That is very powerful. I mean, it's like it's the gas in my tank. You know, It's what would and should and could propel us forward further into our destiny. I mean, why are we afraid of the of other religions or other thought processes that people have? Why are we afraid to walk into a New Age store, or why are we afraid to go into what we consider enemy territory? Why are we afraid if this scripture is the truth? We were raised to life with him that day in the tomb. 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through 25. Okay. We were healed by his stripes, and I'm thankful that we walk in that. We walk in that understanding. There's a lot of us here that do, and a lot more that need to grab hold of that. Hebrews 10:10. We were made holy, holy, totally holy. That's what you're talking about, Pastor. But we have to grab hold of that. These are truths that our Father is saying about us. John 17:21. We were made one in him and in his Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we could get a hold of this, I mean, we would just be like dynamite. So we might come into this world cloaked in a sinful sin nature, likened to the birthing process, the way we are washed off after passing through the birth canal. We are declared innocent as a baby is declared innocent. Our environment, our culture, our birth family, our environmental conditions all determine how we allow the sin nature to unravel or unfurl in our lives. It's a fight to press in and to live the crucified life, to live the life that God intended for us to live. And I say here, I was sharing with Pastor Charlie how culture has changed our perception of Father and our perception of innocence. We sometimes don't grab hold of this fact that culture plays a major part in the way we perceive Father, even more than we even realize, because society is forever changing, morphing into what the majority desires. You know, it's hard for me to wrap my head around. Now we have abortion on demand, and even the innocent aren't protected anymore. So I want to bring you through this story. I was asking the Lord, I said, yeah, how did I perceive Father when I was growing up, outside of the man upstairs with the big stick? So this is, I don't know how many of you, I'm in my 60s, so I don't know how many of you can actually relate to this, but at least the concept of it. I just want to give you four little points on just a small glimpse of how our culture has shaped our perception. So when I was growing up, The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet were on the TV in black and white. They first started as a radio show, but they epitomized the values of the 1950s and 60s, featuring a real-life family called the Nelsons. That was until from 52 to 1966. Then in 1954 through 1960, there was a show called Father Knows Best with a man named Jim Anderson, and he's the father. He was portrayed as a very wise man who always had advice for his sons, for his kids. He had three kids. But then something shifted in our nation, and we began to see shows like All in the Family. From 1971 to 79, we began to see men portrayed like Archie Bunker. And I read this right out of Wikipedia. A loudmouth, uneducated bigot. He avoided all that he disdained. His son-in-law, who he called Meathead, his neighbors, who were black, his partners at the tavern that were Jewish, and his wife's cousin, who was a feminist. So you went from The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet to a guy like Archie Bunker, And this is what kids saw. And this became their perception. And it got even worse. And this particular show has been ongoing since 1987. And it's called The Simpsons. Where Homer is the oafish, I'm taking this from Wikipedia. Homer is the oafish, unhealthy, beer-drinking, loving father, and Marge is the hard-working homemaker wife. And isn't that our society today? So you can see what we have seen, and it goes in the windows of your, you know, your eyes are the windows of your soul. You process this. This is what kids see. So there's no longer Ozzie and Harriet's around or people like Jim Anderson who father knows best. Think about that. There are lots more visual expressions we have seen of this degrading phenomenon, tearing away at the father's foundational makeup of father, mother, and family. So now, a father can change his sex and be a mother. A father can marry another man and upset the godly balance of what our Heavenly Father's intention was. Or he can be a father without a mother in raising a child. So the biblical expression of father is no longer the norm and no longer accepted as the status quo. So as I shared before, 19.7 million children are fatherless. And more. Those statistics are from 2017. But we, as ones who have experienced his saving grace, don't have to be fatherless. We don't have to be fatherless. We have the freedom to choose, and we have the freedom to choose rightly. So just close your eyes, because I'm going to end my message, and I'm going to end it with a prayer. So I ask you, because everyone in here I know is saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, sanctified. Everyone in here is a child of God. Everyone in here recognizes to some degree that you have been formed before the foundation of the world in your Father's heart. He has predetermined your path. He has set you in the family of his choosing. He has set your borders and your boundaries. And none of the choices in your life or the choices you may continue to make in your life change the way he feels about you when he considered you in his heart. The way he looks at you has never changed. Your choices are inconsequential to him. Your sins are inconsequential to him. He's the one that started the work, and he is the one that will finish the work. So I ask you to consider, and even challenge you to consider, how your own personal perception has trapped you in the lie that you are unlovable, or that you are not innocent in the eyes of your Father. I challenge you to ask yourself, what in your life has molded your paradigm? What has your eyes seen? What has your ears heard? What has your flesh endured? I'm asking you to just let the Holy Spirit bring you back to the place where you once began. And that was in the heart of your father. Let him love you. Let is a word of permission. Give him permission to love you. I ask you, Father, to just move on us this morning. And even as we prayed in the prayer room, Lord, that you would blanket, you would lay your blanket over us this morning. You say that your blanket has a name, and its name is love. And so, Father, I ask you to cover us with your blanket this morning, that we would begin to give you permission to love you into the deepest core of who we are. I ask you, Father, to place desire in our hearts to look into that mirror so that we can see your beautiful face. Father, I am asking you that the Spirit of God would come like rain and wash away the dust of our lives. Father, the dirt that sticks and doesn't come off without soap. You say you are the fuller's soap. So I ask you to come and give us a bath this morning, that we would feel welcome in your presence, that we would no longer continue to agree with the things that hold us back, that we would give them permission to leave, to go, to be released from what Paul calls the besetting sins that so easily keep us from our destiny. And Father, I ask you to come and kiss every person in this room with your love and your goodness, that we might see you for who you are, so that we can see ourselves clearly. We just bless you, Lord, and we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for each and every person here. I thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here. So valuable to you. So valuable. We carry such value in the heart of our Father. I thank you for every purpose that's coming forth this morning. I thank you for every destiny that's being fulfilled this morning. As we say yes, Father, teach us to trust you, for you're the one that made us. It's amazing. He's such a good Father. He's such a good Father. Let him love you. Let him love you. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.